We are thrilled about their landmark decision to stop selling cigarettes and other tobacco products. We believe that this decision by CVS strongly demonstrates its commitment to supporting health and wellness instead of contributing to disease and death caused by tobacco use. And we urge other retailers to follow suit in reducing access to tobacco products in the communities of Florida.
And especially the nation's number one drugstore chain, Walgreens. The heat is on them now. Michael Munns, CVS has lobbied this huge PR move across the national media. How does this help CVS, and how does this complicate matters for Walgreens?
Well, first of all, before I start to comment, I want to disclose the fact that we do represent the American Heart Association nationally and American Cancer Society here in Florida. But I would say that what it has done is told the other retailers that they're going to have to start addressing this issue. I have found it interesting from the first announcement that came out about 24 hours ago, the level and the diversity of media that's covered it. Of course, it got New York Times and Wall Street Journal, but you're seeing a lot of local coverage like today's show and a lot of local news really picking it up and giving it legs. I think this story is probably going to run through the weekend. And I think it's going to say to these other retailers, you're going to have to address this issue, and they're going to look like a, you know, me too, if and when they make a decision. But I do applaud CVS. I thought it was bold, but I also think it's obviously a business decision because they're shifting as far as what their offerings are into the more in-store clinic model, and they're expanding their healthcare offerings. So it makes perfect sense from a business standpoint. From a PR standpoint, it was a huge win.
We'll go to your calls about CVS's announcement that they will no longer sell any tobacco. No more cigarettes at CVS. We want your calls at 549-2937. Shannon Hughes, Tobacco Free Florida, of course, is very much engaged in helping Floridians quit smoking. Now, just the other day, Men's Health ranked all U.S. cities on smoking. And it found that Jacksonville, Florida, is actually one of the worst cities when it comes to the percentage of adult men who smoke. Here in Florida, I would say we have a long way to go when it comes to discouraging this deadly practice. Tell us a little bit about the mission of Tobacco Free Florida.
Well, the mission of Tobacco Free Florida is to reduce exposure to secondhand smoke, to help adults and youth who are engaged in the use of tobacco to quit, to raise awareness of the dangers of smoking and secondhand smoke. We also manage the Florida Clean Indoor Air Act program. We are dedicated to providing the tools that folks need to assist them in quitting. We have three free and easy ways to quit. People can call, click, or come in. We are very proud of the fact that we have reached the lowest high school rates ever recorded by any state. We are at 8.6% of high school students who say that they have used or that they're current cigarette smokers. So we're very proud of that. However, we have a long way to go. We are we're doing better than the rest of the country with adults and with high school students. But we must be vigilant. We must continue to work on helping people quit smoking or quit using whatever form of tobacco they're engaged in, and also be vigilant about trying to help prevent youth from ever starting, because the majority of people who smoke started before they were 18 years old. 9 out of 10 smokers started before the age of 18. So it's our job to make sure that people are aware of the dangers of smoking and tobacco use.
And don't you send a free kit to anyone in the state who wants one?
Yes. If a person calls the quit line or they engage in our web coach or they come into one of our classes, if it's medically appropriate, they are eligible for nicotine replacement therapy, and we send a 2-week kit of either lozenges or patches.
And Michael Munns, now CVS is saying that they will lose more than $2 billion in annual sales when they stop selling tobacco, but they think they can make it up through becoming more of a healthcare provider, offering health screenings and all sorts of other products. It seems to they seem to be riding the trend toward just more of a healthcare focus on prevention and wellness. And that's always been the criticism of pharmacies and drugstores, right? That on the one hand, they're selling products to make you healthier, but on the other hand, right behind the counter, they were also selling cigarettes. It was certainly a conflict.
Yeah, and I think that it was interesting to see their CEO, who apparently is a former smoker, comment about that in several of the news articles and basically say that it was tough for them. And also their chief medical officer said it was tough for them to have a conversation in the pharmacy about issues related to smoking. It could have been high blood pressure or other related matters. And then you'd come to the front of the store and have this wall of tobacco products. And, you know, they didn't become the second largest drugstore chain. And I think it was like $120 billion reported in revenue in 2012 or 2013. They didn't become that big without doing their homework on the business side. So I'm sure while they've said publicly they're going to lose about $2 billion in annual revenue, they're looking at how they're going to increase their sales and make their company stronger by focusing more on the in-store clinics and expanding their healthcare offering.
And, you know, Walgreens' famous tagline is at the corner of happy and healthy. They always lock up every corner. Very smart of them. There's a social media campaign now targeting Walgreens, asking them, what are they going to do? That if you were advising Walgreens as a public relations strategist, what would you tell them?
I would tell Walgreens to get on board quickly. Don't let this thing drag out. Take advantage of the conversation that's going on right now. I did see what was going on social. I thought that was very interesting. And, of course, you know, that type of engagement online has really changed the whole complexity of public relations today from where it was a few years ago. So I think Walgreens needs to pay attention, and they need to act quickly and show that, you know, while, again, they could be seen as somewhat of a Me Too, if they stand up and they do this, I think that they'll get a lot more positive. If they continue on the same path that they're on or don't make any changes, I think in the long term that could be very negative for them.
And if you're just joining us, lots of calls as we discuss the landmark announcement from CVS, the nation's number two drugstore chain. They will no longer sell any tobacco products by October. We have Tobacco-Free Florida on the line and public relations strategist Michael Munns. What are your questions? What are your thoughts? 549-2937. Larry in Jacksonville has some comments to make. Hello, Larry. Good morning.
Hi. I have never smoked in my life. I hate somebody smoking near me. I hate secondhand smoke. But I'm totally against what CVS has done. What are they going to do next is stop selling drugs, which are the biggest killers, stop selling all the candy and fatty foods in their stores. This is absolutely ridiculous. What they have done.
Yeah, do you think that
I'm a non-smoker. I'm saying that.
You think people should have the right to buy the product anywhere?
Absolutely. I predicted this about 20, 25 years back that eventually cigarettes will become illegal and drugs will become legal because there are some people who want to make money with underground sales and drugs are now becoming legal. Cigarettes slowly are becoming illegal.
All right. Thanks, Larry. Shannon Hughes, what about that? Those that say, well, there's a push to, for example, legalize marijuana at the same time that there is this strong trend toward discouraging cigarette smoking. What about that argument?
Well, I would leave the medical marijuana argument to someone else. We certainly have experts in the field that could talk more knowledgeably about that particular area than I. But we believe that denormalizing smoking is the way to go. We don't take a position on whether or not tobacco should be legal or not, but I can tell you this. We are heavily promoting the awareness of the deadly effects of tobacco on folks. We are very focused on how important it is to denormalize tobacco use, particularly for kids, because when kids perceive tobacco use as the norm, they're more likely to see it as acceptable and more likely to start smoking. And as I said, 9 out of 10 smokers start by age 18. Mm. So while some shoppers may continue to smoke and buy their cigarettes elsewhere, removing tobacco products from CVS is going to make a significant difference by denormalizing tobacco use, and that's what we're about. We're not about, and you know, to the point that smokers should be able to buy their cigarettes wherever they want to, they certainly can, but a private company has every right to make a decision like this to say, we don't want to sell a product that we don't believe fits in strategically with where we're going as a company. And clearly that's what CVS has done. In 2010, the American Pharmacists Association urged pharmacies to discontinue sales of tobacco products and urged state pharmacy boards to discontinue issuing and renewing licenses of pharmacies that sell these products. So this has been discussed for quite some time, and the disconnect about, as Michael was saying, about pharmacies being about wellness and health, and like the slogan that you quoted of CVS, there's just a disconnect and not being congruent with them selling tobacco.
Kate tweets the show, I'm not sure about the rest of Jack's, but I will be visiting CVS stores a lot more in the future. Hashtag more of this. 549-2937. Let's go to Craig in Arlington. Hello, Craig. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. I would be impressed if CVS would change their pricing structure on their prescription drugs. They're one of the highest in the nation. And what they have done is they discount from the highest retail, where like mom-and-pop stores, you know, drug stores, and even Costco, what they do is they do a markup system from the wholesale, like 10% markup. And it can mean hundreds of dollars to uninsured people or even people under the Affordable Care Act that don't have drug coverage. So that's a big issue with me. And that's more of a health issue than the availability. I mean, somebody else is going to sell cigarettes right down the street at the convenience stores.
Hmm. Yeah.
You know, and they're more, that's where most people buy their cigarettes, is while they're pumping gas or, you know, that kind of thing. So I think it's more of a publicity stunt.
Do you really?
So I think this is just to, I mean, if you do the, awareness, people don't realize the prescription drugs have a pricing difference that can mean hundreds of dollars difference. So, you know, if you check those things out, make the phone calls when you've got a prescription and you're living on a budget, you'll find out these things. I don't go there because of that.
Thanks, Craig. And Martin tweets the show, money is blind. Tobacco profit margins likely diminish to where CVS could recognize its cognitive dissonance. So some cynicism out there about this decision. But let's go down to Cindy in St. Augustine. Hello, Cindy. Good morning to you.
Thank you. Three points. Tobacco to me is pure. It's the chemicals that are being put on the tobacco to process the cigarettes. I think that goes along with all the processed foods that we have and everything as well. Second point, when we do, or if you do legalize marijuana, that's going to produce smoke, secondhand smoke, and a whole lot more to brain cells than I think is going to happen if you legalize marijuana. And what about all the taxes that we get from cigarette smoking in this country? If we ban cigarettes, where are those taxes going to get made up? I just feel like you keep pushing and pushing the cigarette smokers to stop. You're going to lose a lot, plus bring in marijuana. It doesn't make sense. Thank you.
Thanks, Cindy. What about the economics of this? Shannon Hughes.
Well, I tell you, when I hear comments like that, I think about how we talk about that ourselves, because our program is funded with the tobacco settlement dollars that Florida received back in the late 90s. And, you know, ideally, someday we will sort of be out of a job in a sense. Now, what I mean by that is that as soon as you become lax or you back off, you start to see things like tobacco smoking prevalence start going up again. We saw that many years ago when this program was not funded very well, and we started seeing prevalence rates start to creep back up. So, you know, once you hit a low, you can't totally back off about awareness and education. I think we found that to be true with some of the vaccines. And as soon as we thought, well, we've eradicated these diseases and people started getting lax about vaccinating their children, we started seeing an upsurge in those diseases coming back. So on one hand, you can never totally say, well, we've kicked smoking and we're tobacco free and we don't ever have to worry about it. I think there will always be a place for education and awareness and helping a small percentage of people who do continue to use tobacco products. But on the other hand, we would love to see somewhere down the road the sales of cigarettes diminish, the money coming into the settlement dollar arrangement going down, and concurrently our program shrinking a little bit to where we don't have to offer cessation services as much anymore. Because we've convinced folks that it's not the right thing to do, that their health is worth so much more and their quality of life is worth so much more than the satisfaction of a cigarette many times a day.
Michael Munns, what would you say to the cynics who've called in and say this is just a publicity stunt? And it's certainly a pretty successful one in terms of the publicity CVS is getting out of this.
Well, anytime a major corporation makes a big policy decision like this, there are going to be those that claim it to be just for publicity. But I think that this is both a result of a big public decision. When you're as big of a retailer as they are, you can't make a decision like this without it being a big public conversation. But I also think, it is a smart business decision. And when you can combine a smart business decision, they're looking at the long-term business effect of this decision. I mean, you can combine that with getting positive press, and there are those cynics, but you know, I think if you were to look across the board, by and large, they've gotten much more positive PR out of this than negative.
Let's go to Eric on the South Side. Hello, Eric. Thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Sure. Good morning. No better way to start the show or your morning and then listening to the soothing voice of Melissa.
Aw, thank you.
And I appreciate your guests coming in on this important topic. Smoking, number one cause of preventable death, almost 500,000 deaths per year. Way ahead of even alcohol, 80 to 100,000 a year. As far as tobacco taxes being reduced, we don't have to take that tobacco settlement money that our late great Governor Lawton Childs fought so vigorously for, and then they switched it to having to cut out the lungs of smokers. So, you know, there's going to be some positive effects there. I want Herb and John Payton to listen up. Get rid of tobacco in your stores and follow the lead of CBS. Thank you, Melissa.
Thank you, Eric. Mitchell down in Palatka. Thanks for holding, Mitchell.
Yes.
How's Palatka doing this morning? Good morning, Mitchell.
Well, I'm the only thing that's nuts around my place is my wood-burning stove. But I'm very excited about this. It's a very good thing for CBS to do. I really think the best way to deal with this problem is make it legal to sell the leaves of poisonous plants like tobacco, but only to be able to sell them as leaves, not as some romanticized thing in a paper cylinder and fancy envelopes. And people should be encouraged, people that are addicted to tobacco should be encouraged to grow some tobacco in their own backyard. They should be able to give it away to anyone that wants some of it, but we can't make it illegal to sell this, because then we would just have the problem of more imports of illegal drugs from some other country that would try to bring it in. But the best way to do is to take all the romance out of it and only allow it to be sold in plain plastic bags that have right at the top leaves of poisonous plants, tobacco leaves. And then there would be a greatly reduced incentive to be doing it, because it would take the romance out of it.
Thanks, Mitchell. You know, Shannon Hughes, it has been a sea change in terms of the way this product is viewed by the public. 50 years after the U.S. Surgeon General's report came out in the early 1960s, when smoking was glamorized, really was. Nearly half the adult population in the mid-60s smoked cigarettes. It's less than 20% today. And, of course, tobacco-free Florida, your goal is to get it as low as possible, yes?
Correct. 17.7% of the adults in Florida as of 2012 were smokers.
And Michael Munns, it seems as though this is part of a larger trend to completely change the narrative about cigarettes to really almost make cigarettes socially unacceptable.
Yeah, I think you've seen that. And someone mentioned Governor Childs and the state of Florida. When you go back to the conversations that were taking place around the tobacco settlement here, and then you had other states, and it really has, from a public perception, not just from a health standpoint, but from a public perception, changed over time. I mean, I have a photo of my mother when she was pregnant with me in 1963,
yeah,
standing there smoking a cigarette.
It's
funny. And she was a nurse. and when I talked to her about it, she really, you know, reflects back on and Mad Men. I mean, that was the era of Mad Men, and you see it on TV today, on that TV show. It is a really interesting change from a perception standpoint from where it was to where it is. A lot of people say it's taken too long, but things like this CVS announcement continue to help move it in this direction.
And finally, Shannon Hughes, the number to contact Tobacco-Free Florida is?
1-877-U-CAN-NOW, that's just the letter U, or 1-877-822-6669.
Excellent. Well, thank you both so much for being with us. We appreciate
it. Happy to be here.
Thanks, Melissa. Have a great day.
You too.
Thank you, Melissa.